You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
And in keeping with one of the things that Skulk mentioned around the Barlow World offer that was put in today, we're going to be taking a look at some of the other deals that have been on the table and off the table and some of the other commitments that have been made. I'm joined on the line by the director at Deal Leaders International, Andrew Bowman, to take a look at some interesting deal activity that's been taking place. Good evening, Andrew. Lovely to catch up with you again. Let's start with that Barlow World announcement coming through. Saudi Arabian group, Zuhid Group, looking to acquire Barlow World and delist it. We'd heard rumblings around this. I remember catching up with the Barlow World CEO. They wouldn't confirm or deny what was happening. They said there is a conversation that may or may not be happening. We finally have wind of it. 120 Rand a share. Is that a good deal?
Look, I think so. Clearly there was a lot happening behind closed doors. And I think if you see it how the market reacted to the pricing and the bid, it was obviously very, very positive. I think is, you know, one of the larger shareholders are questioning whether there shouldn't be a bit more premium in it. But again, one goes at market sentiment and reaction. And it looks like a good deal. You know, it looks like a solid, good partner. And I think clearly a lot of thought and planning has gone into the structure and the consortium that's doing it, you know, with the Zuhid Group. So, yeah, I think it's very exciting and you know, I think a huge, huge positive and another big, you know, FDR win for South Africa.
Speaking of FDI wins, let's stick with Saudi Arabia FDI wins. We'll come back to Bidvest in a second. We may have seen it, depending on whether or not you read the president's letters to you as South African citizens. In the letter, it was kind of subtly hidden within there. There's a 9.5 billion rand planned investment from Saudi Arabia to build a refinery in the Limpopo province. Now, first of all, that's a weird place to put a refinery of all the provinces you could have chosen. But more than that, almost 10 billion rand and not a single word uttered by the media, by the government of national unity. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, I'm actually going to read the letters with a lot more detail because if there's a few more 9.5 billion, I think it's a huge positive. Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, it just kind of pops out of the woodwork and you know, there's very little hype around it. So I agree with you. I think it is a strange location. I'm assuming that they've got their reasons, but yeah, a big number, clearly a big win for the production and processing of PGM and base metals. And yeah, you know, again, I guess it's going to be watch this space, but interesting enough, another Saudi Arabian play. So there's clearly this big push from a Middle Eastern, you know, investment perspective to be looking more and more in our part of the world, you know, is a positive again. But yeah, interesting to see how it's going to play out.
I suppose from a Saudi Arabian point of view, when you have the amount of money that Saudi Arabia has and that the PIF has in Saudi Arabia, it you kind of have to start to diversify beyond your own borders. In our case, we've been having the conversation around beneficiation of resources for the longest time, and it looks as though that's one of the big points around the 7th administration and wanting to push those objectives going forward. Does that bode well for other deals in the M&A or in the mining space in South Africa? We know South Africa's very big in terms of the mining plays. Does this kind of investment sentiment bode well for other miners?
Yeah, I would say absolutely. You know, I think the great thing with these types of investments is one, it's a direct investment, you know, either in this type of you know, industrial play or in the direct assets themselves or in all the services around. So, yeah, you know, I think it often is there's the sentiment is boosted by the weight division of who's investing, you know, in specific industries. And I think, again, the Saudi play is probably maybe also triggered a bit by the BRICS element. And you're right, it is about that diversification. And we all know that there's a play on resources. And what I like is the confidence in PGM, because obviously PGM's gone through a little bit of a rocky year. But yeah, this is a vote of confidence, and hopefully that also boosts our export contributions from a GDP perspective back to Saudi.
Andrew, speaking of the PGM play, you and I caught up about that BHP Anglo deal just around the time it was happening. It didn't go through. Anglo's been trying to unbundle. They've done accelerated book builds on the Amplats business twice since then. Now BHP can come back to the table because the mandatory period in the UK has lapsed from a deal perspective and from an offer perspective. Do you see merit in that deal happening again, or in something, someone like BHP wanting to come back for it or for those Anglo assets? Or is it one of those things from a deal perspective, once it was off the table, it's unlikely to come back?
Look, I guess it depends on you know, the primary strategic driver and the egos around the table. I think there's, it's never easy to come back. You know, I just think on, all of the, I'm going to say bad blood under the water, under the, that's flowing in the water. But one hopes so, either, to whether it's them or somebody else. But there's always almost permanent cracks in the foundation when you go hard for a deal and it doesn't happen and it falls over. And then, a lot has happened since then. So, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Obviously, Anglo, strategically, both have got their drivers. So, give it a little bit of time and let's see. But I would be quite doubtful if they do a deal, but very, very happy to be wrong.
Andrew, what about the Bidvest deal, the Bidvest disposal to Access Bank, the 2.8 billion rand of the business there? I mean, we've been keeping an eye on these sorts of movements as well throughout the year, so it's not really too much of a surprise, but happy that the deal finally went through. And this is not the first of this kind of deal. I think back to African Bank buying Grindrod's banking assets as well, and those sorts of things. What do you make of the Bidvest disposal? Well-timed?
I think so. I think one, well-timed. I think they found a really, really good acquirer. I think the, from an Access Bank perspective, I think they're a powerhouse, and it plays into their strategy as well. From Bidvest's perspective, obviously, they're at an M&A level, they've been very aggressive, in the current year. So clearly, there's going to be 2.8 billion rands worth of relief. And if I recall, they're going to, put that towards paying down some of that debt. So, I think it plays well with them moving away from, that banking, in inverted commas, non-core asset. Good deal, good buyer. Again, I think reinforcing the financial framework, if you like, for, that South Africa's still a strong gateway into Africa. And what I also like about it is, it's going to factor in, employee share structure and getting the right BEE credentials and everything in place. So, I think overall, a very good outcome.
As I mentioned African Bank, I think back to, I think it was last week's announcement or the week before that, African Bank acquiring that, I think it was the home loan book from Eskom. Yes, that obviously, again, from an M&A point of view, clearly suggests that if you can find the right deal out there, there's going to be a lot to profit from it. There's going to be a lot of strategic advantages to that. Do you see these kinds of deals happening more going into 2025?
I think so. I think you've got to, it becomes a lot more clinical almost. And I think, it was a great play. It was quite interesting to see the scale of that book. And, African banks had a great turnaround, strategy, and that they're clearly going after those types of opportunities. So, I think there's going to be a lot more almost looking under the hood and being more targeted, because I think there are going to be a lot of good assets kind of lumped together in other SOEs or these large groups who are diversifying away from non-core assets and the likes. So I think clever players in the M&A space are going to see some really good targets. I think fair pricing and really good synergies that they can hopefully tap into relatively easily.
Andrew, would you say that these companies need to have strong balance sheets to take advantage of these? Or if you have kind of good leverage on the book and you're able to just strategically structure a deal with good management, then you might not necessarily need to have the cash on hand?
Yeah, look. I think it's always a blend. I think at the end of the day, it depends on the assets. So can you leverage the assets? Because clearly, it's going to be better for your return on capital, and what that structure is going to look like. So I think it always helps to have some dry powder that isn't debt. But I think more and more the reality is there's a lot of debt out there, and there's a lot of aggressive lending to the right structures and the right management teams. So I think one has to be creative, and I think to be quite honest, a lot of these, particularly these bigger deals. Very seldom will it be a pure equity play. So yeah, look, strong balance sheet always helps, and overgeared balance sheet is always quite risky from a counterpart perspective. And so yeah, I think to support what you're saying, Jim, is a stronger balance sheet gives you a lot more leverage and flexibility in structuring deals.
It's certainly going to be an interesting 2025 when we look at the deal space, and I'm sure you and I, Andrew, are going to be having a lot more of these conversations. Hopefully some of them are surprises in a positive light, but we'll leave the conversation there for now. Thanks so much, Andrew, for the time and for the insights. Andrew Ballman, Director at Deal Leaders International, on some of the M&A activity that's taken place throughout the year and what we could potentially be in for in the new year.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.